Do you want to take part in a Bible study that can help you understand the Bible better? Tune in to Glorious Morning every Thursday and Friday at 7:20 a.m. and on Maranatha Drive every Monday and Tuesday at 4 p.m. for an interactive Bible study. Through these studies, you can find answers for facing the issues and challenges you deal with every day. You can also find these studies on www.voiceofprophecy.com.
Indeed, you can also find them there and join through as we study together. We are currently in number six, lesson number six of the Discover Study Guide, and we're actually wrapping that up today in our conversation. Nomfundisi Khaliza, who joins us now on the line to talk to us about this joy of salvation, the joy that can be found in salvation. It sometimes is a fleeting one, and if you ask people who have been saved for a while, some of them might not even look joyous, let alone say they are joyful. So we're going to be trying to understand how can we actually realize that for ourselves, that our journey is not cliche, and we find that it was actually a scam. That's the conversation for today. Mfundisi Khaliza, good afternoon to you, sir, and welcome once again to the Maranatha Drive.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
No, we are doing very well, Pastor. The Lord is good and He is blessing us still.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
How do you that do? Should... Sorry, Mfu?
I'm saying that should be the spirit for 2024.
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We're hoping that we can embrace it all the way through and it doesn't start like resolutions, right? That by next week, we are done. We've had enough and we're moving on. Mfundisi, as we go into the wrap-up discussion, we're talking the joy of salvation. What should our attitude be when we receive the second? I mean, we've been talking about the second chance. That's what lesson six is all about, the second chance at life. How should we respond? What's our reaction to be to the second chance?
Well, thank you. Our reaction to the second chance, which is always shown in our attitude, number one must be it must show right within us that we have become so much happy that we have again regained a chance to make things right. Number one, there should be joy that comes because when you have erred, when you have gone wayward, it's like when you offend someone and they have not yet forgiven you, you do not have peace in your heart, you are guilty, you have stress thinking about all these things, but here comes a moment when you are just forgiven and you all feel the stress is gone, the guiltness is gone, every pain is gone away because you have regained each other. And so even us, when we receive a second chance from Jesus Christ, our attitude must be that which will show to the world that we have been regained by our Savior. We have been given a chance to make things right.
We've been given a chance, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, when we have been given that chance, what we need to do is we need to embrace it by showing the joy, by our attitude. Our attitude must show that, okay, this person has really changed and this person has the impact. There should be that impact which comes as a result of being forgiven, which will form your attitude towards Jesus. The attitude that will show, okay, Jesus Christ is my Savior and He has forgiven me. No doubt, you believe in it.
Yeah. And it's fascinating that you mentioned this idea of changing our behavior and our conduct. Does this new chance, the second chance at life, mean we must never do wrong again? I mean, if we're leaving this life that we're supposed to now leave behind and then take on this new chance at life, a better chance at life, and we stumble, does it mean that we are totally outcast? I mean, we're already in a second chance?
When we're given a second chance, really what the second chance means is that you must not do this again.
Okay.
So, yeah. So when we are given that second chance, it must truly mean to us, okay, this side, I should not go. I should not repeat the same thing. Except most of the times, even when we are given a chance, sometimes we find ourselves in doing again the wrong things that we were forgiven. And that's where, when you bond it with yesterday's, that's where now it comes to say that we need Jesus to dwell in our hearts. He has given us a chance so that Him comes in our hearts, so that whatever we do, we will only do at the dictates of the Holy Spirit. Him must lead, Him must guide. But without embracing Him and creating that bond with Him, most of the times we will drift again and go back to the wrong things that we were forgiven. And so, in terms of receiving Jesus Christ, when we receive Him, it simply means we must not go back to the wrong things, because He has given us this chance. He has forgiven us of the wrongs that we did. So we need not to go back. But however, most of the times we still go back there. But when Jesus sees us, because Jesus is so forgiving, He is like a person standing on a hill and is looking at people and he sees a lot of their sins, but he chooses to look slightly beyond their sins and looks at them as potential candidates who could still make a change again. So when we are forgiven, it simply means don't do this again. That's what it means.
That's what it means.
Because I don't like it, because Jesus, there will be no time that Jesus will change. Said, now I have started liking this. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He does not change. And the laws do not change.
I like that, Buddhist. So, there is no place that the Lord will ever say, and okay, now I like it. And I see today in the world, we are starting to see a lot of people thinking that Christ has moved with some of His requests and His demands on us, especially in our conduct and our Christian behavior, which again is a conversation we're going to be having for the rest of the week in our fundamental belief, Christian behavior. And we see a lot of people saying, I mean, just accept God is, He understands. And you're saying here, He hasn't moved. But isn't that the recipe for, and I think actually it's captured very well in Paul's cry, Romans chapter 7. Oh, wretched man that I am, you know, who shall deliver me from the body? Because that which I want to do, like you're saying rightly, Mfundisi, we understand Christ says to us, go and sin no more when He saves us. But somehow the sin I don't want to do is the sin I end up doing. Is that why, Mfundisi, that most Christians, some Christians don't have this conversation we're talking about today, the joy of salvation? Is that why they're looking so miserable and yeah, like life is just a one dredge after another, because it's not joyous? You know, we are told don't do it, but you end up doing it.
Yeah, you see, like I had said earlier on, the problem that we have, number one, is not really believing that we have been forgiven. Number two is sometimes we comfort ourselves in wrongdoing by saying God understands. And that statement has really led to a lot of wrongdoings in this life, because people will tell you, no, the Bible is what and what, but God will still understand. Yes, this thing, no, God understands. No. We make God to understand what He does not understand. We force Him to understand what we want to do, simply because it is me who wants to do it. But when I see, you see, I always love to tell people to say that the problem with humanity is that we do not hate sin. We hate sinners. So what happens is, what you like doing, which is wrong, I will hate it. But I also have mine, and another person hates my sin. Another person hates that sin. So at the end of the day, it's like we have choices that we feel God understands when me, I do this, but that which my friend is not right. So all things have caused us pain, because most of the times we find ourselves in a situation where almost every time, at least, we are guilty of something. And guiltness has capacity to pull down our joy. Guiltness has capacity to just lower us of that bond with Jesus Christ, because we feel shy to come to Jesus because of what we do. It's like a person who is battling with masturbation and may not share it anymore. And so at the end of time, they feel, okay, how can I come to Jesus? Because the guiltness is so much, to an extent that even when you find yourself in the midst of people, you might feel like somebody knows it. even when no one knows. So just that will make us live a life which is sad, without joy, because every time there's something that makes us guilt on the mind. But what we need more is that Jesus saves, Jesus forgives, and when he does that, it's the time when we must experience that joy, because giving a second chance must lead me into, you know, there are those people, others would even shed tears. It's like you messed up to your wife, and then all of a sudden, after things went wayward, and then she decides that, okay, let me give you a second chance.
Okay.
Some people would even shed tears because of the joy that they have in being given another chance. So when we are given a chance, it must bring joy in our life. But what makes us not to receive joy? It's when you are forgiven, but deep down in your heart, you know that you are still doing this. You cannot have joy.
And if I'm hearing you well, then, Pastor, it's that we need to delve deeper into the initial aspects of this lesson when it speaks about the salvation Christ offers. I mean, you were touching on this one yesterday to say the steps to salvation, right, where he takes the sin from our lives. And if that step is skipped, we will struggle with the joy, because we keep on reverting like a dog to his own vomit, says Proverbs. But if Christ has really dealt with us, we have surrendered to him, then the joy is inescapable.
So joy is inevitable, and Christ longs to see all of us happy when he has forgiven us. That's why Christ longs to see everyone saved.
Amen.
But then the issue comes in on our side, our end, when we come to Jesus Christ and he receives us. And then he forgives us. He gives us another chance. He reunites us with our Father God. But then for us to have that deep joy, it really needs us to have, one, accepted we have been forgiven. Two, to truly let go of everything by following those steps that we discussed yesterday. That Christ has dealt with my sin, and I am certain that I do not have it because Christ has dealt with it. Then I have received him as my Lord and personal Savior.
Amen.
And so my life is a new life. I am no longer that old man. So Christ deals with that old sin, that old man. Now I am a new creature in Christ.
Hallelujah.
And because I am a new creature in Christ, it is inevitable to have the joy of the salvation of Jesus Christ. It's
Amen.
Like what David said
Amen.
When he was praying in chapter 51 of Psalm, when he says, Lord, search me, and if there be any sin left in me, I pray, Lord, you may blot it away. Do not cast me away. Do not allow your Holy Spirit to go away from me. But instead, restore in me the joy
Amen.
Of your salvation.
Amen.
Because David knew and understands, I am a sinner, I don't deserve this. Because second chance, it's being given something you don't deserve. You have messed up, you are done, but the person decides that I'll give you a chance to make it again.
Yeah.
So that must give us a chance to be happy, because I've been given something I don't deserve. It's like the way we sin went wayward from God, but we're supposed to die at the cross of Calvary. Instead of us to die, Jesus comes and dies in our state. And just that, we don't deserve it, but God has given unto us. It's a merited favor, unmerited favor.
Amen. Amen.
There's nothing really that we have done. So we need salvation, and we need to have joy when we have received Jesus Christ.
Amen. Mfundisi, maybe then as we draw to the close, before you invite somebody to take on this joy for themselves, help us understand and just maybe to balance. There is always a challenge, especially we see this conundrum that we fall into as Christians, especially on days like Holy Communion, where we need to balance and pull two steps together, this idea of joy, but also this idea of sobriety of the occasion. How do we deal with that, Mfundisi, of the seriousness of the second chance that, hey, stop playing around, this is the second chance you've received? And like you said earlier on, the outlook is that you don't sin again, you don't fall again into your previous steps. So this is a serious matter, and you must take it with somberness. But also on the other hand, like we are saying today, it's about the joy. You need to celebrate what God has done for you. And we struggle to say it's a holy occasion, he's died for us. Oh, I must think about my sins and how they brought him to the cross. But also on the other hand, I must think of, wow, I've been saved by Jesus Christ. I must celebrate this gift of salvation. How do we balance the two with this joy of salvation, Mfundisi? The sobriety as well as the joy, and live with these two before us.
All right. You see, most of the times when we are forgiven, we have already talked about the side of the joy. But yes, then sir. The coming side of the deep, instance, the somberness of having understood that I have been forgiven, the seriousness that must come with it. The seriousness, if I was to classify it, it's a personal decision. Because in a group, we could decide, okay, let's do this because we have been forgiven. But really, there should be an effort of an individual who understands how deep the relationship with Jesus must be because of the forgiveness and the chance that they have been given. So in trying to make a serious relationship, the use of the opportunity given, it requires a deep relationship with Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Number two, the deep relationship with Jesus can only be created by living a life of devotion, of prayer, of studying the word of God. And also, for you to take it so serious, with that deep seriousness, it also requires to understand that what if I stood on the other end and I put myself in the shoes of the one who has forgiven? If I do this again, how does the person who is offended feels?
Okay.
Because sometimes we go back into things because we do not really understand how it feels. Take for instance, if it's like an issue of a relationship, one does wrong, goes out, and the other one is offended and all that, the one who has gone out must also at a time think, what of if my partner did the same thing, how must I take it? Who will I feel?
Yeah.
It is that deep thinking that will bring a seriousness in the life of changing and not going back to the things that have been forgiven. So we can celebrate, we can feel good that we have been forgiven. But as we celebrate, the joy must really come from the reality Amen. That I will never do this again. How am I making sure that I should not do this? It's by understanding also the feeling of the other party. Every time we sin, it is clear, and the Bible puts it very clear, that we offend God again. So every time we go into sin, we offend Jesus Christ. But still more, it's only that salvation is still lingering. Jesus is still in the most holy place. And every time we sin, he says to his Father, check my hands, I died for this sinner. Take me and let the sinner be. But there come a time when that chance will not be there. So time to change is now.
Amen. Mfundisi, thank you so much. As we wrap up our study for this week, we've been talking about salvation. It would be a pity if we can leave this discussion and not invite somebody to choose salvation. I'm going to ask you to do that encouragement and pray with somebody who would want to select this joy for themselves.
All right. The biggest question, really, as we discuss this, is an individual question of, have you really given yourself to Jesus Christ? And every person, every listener must then be able to respond to this. Have you given your life to Jesus? Because now what I'm doing, I am inviting everyone, every listener, that you may put your life in Jesus Christ. There can never be any safe place to put our lives in. Not even in our families, not even in our friends, not even in our lovers or whatever, but when we secure our life in Jesus Christ, then we are safe because Jesus never disappoints. So I invite you that this afternoon you may give your life to Jesus Christ. Think twice. The second chance that you have been given, utilize it now. And as you utilize it, tell yourself that, Jesus, I am coming. Tell Jesus, I am coming. Forgive me. And I want to pray with you as you commit to Jesus. Make that commitment. The year has just started, so it's better for you to make that commitment to Jesus Christ. Shall we pray together? Gracious Father, our God who art in heaven, we thank you today for forgiving us. We have wronged you in many ways, and now we come, Father, we are so sorry, and we are asking that may you forgive us and deal with our old sin so that we may become a new creature in you. Everybody has something they are struggling with. There is a particular sin that we could be struggling with that we have failed to deal with on our own. And so we surrender it to you that, Lord, may you deal with it and give us a second chance. Many of us, we may be struggling with things that may even be secret and we cannot share with anyone. We pray that, Lord, even when we cannot share with anyone, may we share it with you. And right now as we pray, Lord, forgive us and build that relationship again with us, that we may create the bond day by day with you. We thank you, gracious Father, for hearing and for answering our prayer as you keep on through the Holy Spirit to change many lives and to speak to us that we may be pure and true Christians who are awaiting for your second coming. Thank you for hearing and for answering our prayer, because we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Mfundisi. Until we chat again next time, we really appreciate what you've done for us this week. God bless you.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Have you missed out on any interesting discussions from Adventist World Radio SID Media? Simply go to www.sidmedia.org to listen to all podcasts and previous shows. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to Baptist.